make sure that was still working.
I have looked forward to this opportunity for quite a while, and I can't remember exactly how long, but it's been several years, as I said earlier. I've always loved Kentucky. I grew up in Canada. I don't know if I told you that or not. I was kind of speaking of that a couple times in the Bible study class, but I grew up in Canada. I moved to the United States when I was 26 years old, and I married Dennis's brother's daughter. And he don't have a brother, except Terry. Anyway, that's how it works. That's how we're connected. As close as a friend can be to a brother, Terry is to Dennis, and Dennis to Terry. And so that's how I'm in the family. And that's kind of how I'm here, although Jim and I go way back, and Miss Connie, we got to see him at some sort of a bookstore or something like that every once in a while. But anyway, and it's good to get to meet and know y'all too. I look forward to the week that's here. I'll have to admit something. I am blue-green colorblind. I'll have to take your word for it on the grass. All right. I switched horses. Speaking of Kentucky, I switched horses a little bit in conversation since I arrived. And I'm going to not teach the lesson I had picked. I'm going to teach this lesson. Share it with you. I think it's appropriate to each and every one of us that regardless if you have been through this near or far, when I presented this lesson, I had individuals coming up to me and telling me that, you know, my mother passed away in 1974 and I still think of her every day. And yes, it doesn't matter how long time goes by. And if you are young and you have not experienced these types of losses yet, you will in life. That's what happens. It's the unfortunate circumstance of mortality. And here we are in this mortal world. But I hope that this helps. I hope it helps today, and I hope it helps in the future as the Lord wills and gives us time. There are many thoughts that we human beings like to avoid on purpose. We just try to avoid them entirely because of stress or because of fear or whatever reason we might come up with. There's some folks that don't go to hospitals. They won't visit you in the hospital because then they might get something, or I don't know. They won't go to funeral homes because as long as I don't ever think about a funeral home, I'm never going to die. Does that make sense to you? No, it doesn't make sense, but that's what we do. And so we know that when we deal with situations like that, regardless of what we're willing to think about or not, life has its moments of loss. Mortal life is a series of greetings and partings. That is what this mortal life is all about. I don't know what God intended for us in the garden where the tree of life was growing. Whether God wanted us here for a certain amount of time and then he would bring us back home where we really belong. Or what God intended. I don't know what God intended, but I know what we did with it. We done messed it up. Okay? And so here we are in this mortal reality where we die. And we have to say goodbye to loved ones. I have to admit that at a very early age in life, I really thought that I had the departure part of life all figured out. You know, I just, no problem. I got that. You know, I've attended funerals since I was a child. That's what happens when you have a big family. That's what happens when you're part of an aging congregation. That's what happens when your dad's the preacher. You know, you go to funerals. And my kids have been to funerals. And I thought, you know, I've got this all figured out. No problem. You know, and the reality is, that was just part of life. And that's kind of what I dealt with it. I had witnessed departures. I had believed that my heart understood that situation. And in fact, I really, it may sound odd to your mind, but I really just kind of got comfortable with it. You know, the news, and I'm talking when I'm 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. That was life, you know. Then April 20th, 2014, I had gone to services like always. I had preached like usual. I had gone home and we're sitting there on the couch. And the phone rang and it was my mom and dad's home phone number that they don't call on Sunday afternoon. And my dad's voice on the other side of the phone saying, "Your mom has died." My comfort in passing was gone. My understanding and coping with all of that in that moment was vanished. My mom, as far as I knew, was a healthy, fit 65-year-old woman with plenty of life. I had every intention of seeing her again. I had every intention of receiving a hug from her again. And the phone rang, and she was gone. Five words changed my reality. Five words shocked my life. Sean, your mom has died. Everything that I knew was turned upside down in that moment. Loss tore through my heart. All I could think was that I wanted that situation to not be true. Now, it would have been the worst prank. It would have been the worst joke ever perpetrated to my heart for my dad to say, "Oh, I'm just kidding." But that's what I begged for him to say. I can remember jumping up from the couch and running. I didn't even think about running. I just jumped from the couch and I ran to my office trying to get away from the news. You can't get away from that kind of news. But that's what I did involuntarily. It was real. And there was no running away. In that moment, anything that I had ever imagined that that moment would be was not that moment. Nothing compared to that place where I fell in that moment. I needed to help to find my way back. And I believe we all do when we are faced with that. God's revealed will concerns all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. And part of life is death. And so I know that God provides advice and comfort and a plan for healing through His Word. And that's where I turned, and that's where I encourage you to turn. And hopefully these things will help. Let's consider what we can gather from the Scriptures to help us cope at a time of loss. And this doesn't change from our theme, because on our way home, we're going to say goodbye to some folks. That's part of this. First of all, step one, turn to God. Turn to God. The first thing I did when I gained any kind of composure at all, I was huddled there at my desk in front of my computer monitor. The phone was still in my hand. And I just handed it to Jen, and she took it away and was talking to my dad, and I prayed, and I thanked God. Not for what had happened, but for everything that had happened in my life. Turn to God. Step one, that's the place to go. God is aware of human loss. God knows our nature. God created us. And He knows that we're mortal, and He knows that we're going to face departures. And from the time that man was driven from the tree of life, pushed out of the garden, He knew and He said, "For dust you are, dust you shall return." Genesis chapter 3, 17 to 24. Mortal life has a beginning and an end. Psalm 90 in verse number 10 says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years." Are you feeling strong today? "Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." This life is temporary and fragile and fleeting, and God knows that. A lot of people turn away from God in this moment, but turn to the one who knows. He knows. Jesus, while on earth, showed us the Father. Now, sometimes people say, "You know, I really have a good concept of Jesus from the New Testament, but I really don't know a whole lot about the Father." Look at Jesus and you'll see the Father. John chapter 14, verses 7 to 10, "If you have known me, you would have known the Father also. You've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus was compassionate to our loss in death. He raised the man of Nain. Do you remember that story? There was a widow there. The widow of Nain is all we know her as. And she was left entirely alone. No husband, obviously a widow. And now her only son had died and she was left alone. No one to care for her. Jesus took compassion on her and raised her son from death and presented her son back to her. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 15. He wept over the passing of his own friend Lazarus. I've had people question that verse. Well, why did Jesus cry? He knew he could raise him from the dead. Never be that flippant with the power of God. He had lost a friend. Those people gathered there, Mary and Martha, those individuals who were his friends gathered there, they had suffered a loss that people don't come back from. You see? You know, Jesus didn't just walk around the countryside popping people out of graves. Their brother had died and they were broken and Jesus wept with them. But then he did. He raised him. Even in a time of his own death, and I want you to think about that. At a time when not one of us in this room would blame him for being selfish, in that one moment, he's on the cross near his death, and he turns and sees his mother, who at the time, as far as we know, her husband was no longer on the scene. He just disappears from the scriptural record, and by this gesture, I believe we understand that he probably has passed away. He looks at his mother, and he looks at John, and he says, "Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother," to his disciple John. Jesus is compassionate in our time of loss. God is compassionate in our time of loss. We are told that the Father himself is moved by our death. When the faithful die, it is precious to him. Psalm 116, verse number 15. But God finds no pleasure in the death of the unrighteous. His desire for them. Think about that. When someone who's unrighteous dies, God knows that everything he had hoped for in their life, gone. They cannot be with him. Ezekiel chapter 18, 31 and 32. The things that they could have accomplished are taken away by their mortal departure. God desires to comfort you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3 says that God is a God of comfort. But that's not what it said. It says God of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort. Don't go to God looking for a partial answer. Go to God looking for the complete answer. Because that's what he provides. All comfort. Express your heart to God. Prayers and supplications and thanksgiving and requests. Think about that list from Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Make your needs known to God. Prayers, we all get that. We pray. You know, you should pray before you eat, pray before you go to bed, pray before you get out of bed in the morning. You pray. We pray. But what about the next thing? What's supplication? Supplication is when somebody has been taken from your life and you don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. And you are just there before God. Your heart yearns to express what it is that you're feeling. Supplication is deep. Thanksgiving. I was not thankful for my mom being dead, but I was thankful for her life. We need to be thankful in those moments. We need to make our requests known, be made known to God. We need to express ourselves to God. Ask him, isn't it great that God said, praise me? Yes, we need to praise God. But God also said, ask me for stuff. And that's a good thing. We need to be asking God. So going through those things, those dictionary definitions, they sort of help. But the real life, when you actually use them, will help much more. And I want you to appeal to the throne of God at a time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Trust his care. Trust it. When it seems like our world is falling apart, we must trust what David said in Psalm 11, verse number 3 and 4. And this is a powerful psalm. If you don't have this one underlined, I encourage you to turn to your Bibles and do so. Highlight it or put an arrow next to it or star or something to get your attention there next time. If the foundations are destroyed, if everything you depend on is shattered and gone away, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. God has not moved. God is exactly where God is. And nothing's going to move him. Our whole life can fall apart. But God is still there. We need to turn to him. And we need to trust that his care is there. David in Psalm 23 verse number 4 said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That's the trust of God that we need to have. Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, verses 37 to 39 said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here, watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Trust God's will. Trust his will in your life. Difficult days cannot separate us from God if we are willing to turn to him and trust him. Romans chapter number 8, verses 31 to 39. Turning to God brings comfort through the knowledge of his care, the understanding that life does go on and that hope beyond this moment in our life still remains. Step 2, turn to the living. Turn to the living. At a time of loss, we usually go to a very deep place in our hearts. We have a place that we like to go when we close the door and we stay in there. There are many thoughts that flood over us in that moment. An overwhelming desire to remember every single time you ever interacted with that person. But that was a lifetime worth of moments. It's overwhelming and impossible to remember all of them all at once. A level of self-pity is there. When we're deep down inside our own minds, deep down inside our own hearts, we're saying, "Why has this happened to me?" When it actually happened to them. But that's what we do. And there's also a dark loneliness there. We feel like because that one person has been taken away, everyone has been taken away. That's something that's real. That is a real emotional state. And even though we don't like it, we try to preserve it by pushing people away. And I'm going to tell you something, brethren, that's a mistake. In that moment, that's why God made other human beings besides you on planet Earth. Because we need people. In a time of crisis, it would be a normal expectation to find comfort among our immediate family. And I want you to keep that in mind, but I also want you to keep in mind the fact that families, they can have this level of commiseration where we've all had a loss, but remember that they've all had a loss. One weakness in turning to your immediate family is because they're broken too. See, this is one of the things my dad discovered. And I didn't realize this until months later. My dad and I talk every day, and I'm glad that we have a strong bond relationship, and I'm glad that our relationship has changed quite a bit from, you know, dad and son to friends, and I'm glad for that. And the thing is that he told me that he was angry with us, all four of us kids. He was angry with us because we didn't seem to reach out to him and provide the comfort that he thought that we should be. And then he never really told us that. And I said, "Why didn't you tell us that?" He goes, "Because I realized that you were hurting too." You see, he had lost his wife and we had lost our mother. And it's not the same. I know that. I get that. But we were all broken in that situation. We all were coping. And so he turned his care back to us. So family is not always the answer. And why do I even bring that point into this? Because I have been around congregations enough to realize that, yes, we're a family in Christ. We all say that. You know, we all say that. But then something like this happens and all of a sudden, well, you're not family. You know, we're family over here. Don't do that. Because the tight blood of genetics family, they're broken. You need someone else's advice as well. There's an example of that particular situation not being what it should be in the life of Job. Job and his wife, and this is something that only occurred to me putting together this lesson that had never occurred to me before. In fact, I have chastised Job's wife endlessly over the years, much to my shame, once I got this figured out through this experience and putting this life together. Job had lost everything that he had. He had lost all of his family except his wife. He had lost all his children, all his wealth, and his health eventually in that same scenario. And Job's wife was struggling to come to terms with that loss. In Job chapter 2, verse number 9, She was not in a place that could provide what Job needed. What did she say to Job? Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. That is someone who is not happy with God. Do you get that? That's a real place that we go to when we lose someone we love. It's a temporary place, and we have to get out of that place. But sometimes family are not the best ones to turn to. So what other options do we have? Well, you could turn to friends. Job, again, he had some friends. They heard about his loss. They traveled to be with him. Well, I know I'm their friend, but right now I've never been through that. I don't even know what to say. Okay, that's the best answer. What did Job's friends do in Job chapter 2, verses 11 to 13? They sat there for 7 days and didn't say a word. 7 days. Even if no words are said in the presence of your friends, your presence begins to comfort those that are facing loss. After 7 days of mourning and silence, Job was able to speak. Job chapter 3, verse number 1. We should seek the comfort of our family in Christ. I'm going to say that again. Seek the comfort of your family in Christ. Sometimes at a time of loss, our assembling is retreated from. People don't show up to church. I hate to say it that way, but we all understand. Excuses are made to not come to our gatherings. To do that is a mistake. That is a mistake. Especially at a time when we need consolation and coping. It is our spiritual family that purposes to consider our needs. That's what this is all about. We are here to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works in our lives. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. It is our spiritual family that is by God's design a source of love, affection, hope, patience. Patience when? Patience in tribulation. Loss is a tribulation of life. Find hope in your spiritual family. It is our spiritual family that when necessary will weep with those that weep. But it's also our spiritual family that when we begin to heal will again rejoice with us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 to 4. Turning to the living brings comfort through the knowledge of their care. An understanding that life does go on and that hope beyond this moment still remains. Let's get to the last point, the lesson will be yours. Step 3, turn back to life. Live again. When someone close to us passes from this life, it feels like part of us has died, that we have died. We have some deep introspection. And that's important. And you have to go through that. If you ever are around a funeral situation and you have somebody going, that's fine, it's no big deal, look out for them. Because in 2 weeks they're going to be a mess. Okay? You can't ignore this stuff. You have to go through it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verses 2 to 4. The living take it to heart. When someone dies, the house of mourning is an important place for us to go. We can seek the help of God and our family, our friends, and certainly our family in Christ. That's something that's important for us to do. But then we must work our way back to being fully alive. We have got to do that at some point. There's no time limit for mourning. And I'm not going to ever say the words, get over it. No, never say that. If you've ever said that, shame on you. Pray to God and ask for forgiveness. Don't ever say that. But we do need to take steps forward. We must take on what we have discovered through this difficult situation and use it to take our next step in our new normal. Somebody said, but life is not the same. Nope. And it never will be. It will never be the same again. You know, I was thinking about, I told you what the date was. It was April 20th. That was Friday. 4 years ago, Friday, Mom passed away. And my brother started. He put a post up about 11:30, quarter till 12. the night before about mom and some different things and some pictures. It's always tough to see those, but. And then my sisters did, and so I thought I better do something, and so I wrote about the best dessert I ever ate. If you want to see it on Facebook, my name is Sean Sullivan. That's just what it is on Facebook. Check it out sometime. Send me a friend request or whatever, but I'll never have those again. What mom made, never again. Life will never be the same again. You see? But that's because this is my new normal. And I have to embrace that because I have to go on living. We all do. This is the reality of what we face. The care of God was with you at the lowest point where you were down in the depths of your heart, wallowing in pity and remorse and mourning. God was there, and He will be with you as you move forward. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 25. Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll wear. Don't worry about those simple things. God knows what you have need of. Verse number 32. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be yours. God was with you, and He will be with you. Family, they'll be healing, and they will find, they'll grow in strength, and you'll grow in strength with them. Job 42, verse number 11, said that Job's brothers and sisters had traveled to where he was, and they brought him gifts of strengthening. Our friends, they're going to return to their normal selves. They're going to be their reliable, normal place. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24, in the New King James, because if you have a New American Standard, it's a completely different verse. But he who has friends must be friendly, and there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Friends will be there for us. In our spiritual family in Christ who wept with us, they will rejoice with us. Turn back to life. Take those steps to come back to what is now your new normal, in which you can function as you once did. All that you have gained in the experience of your loss will help you to help others. We haven't turned to a lot of passages. We've mentioned quite a few and talked about them and read them from the overhead. But I want you to turn to this passage with me, if you would. I want you to see this, and I want you to get some sort of an attention getter there so you don't miss it the next time through. 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 1, I want you to look with me, if you would. Verse number 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations. Why? Why, Father, why do you comfort us? Look what it says. That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Use what you have experienced, what you have faced, what you have survived, to help someone else go through their experience, what they're facing, to know that they too can survive. Turning back to life brings comfort through the knowledge of being cared for, and understanding that life does go on, and that hope beyond this moment in our life still remains. Losing those whom we love is a reality of this world and our mortal nature. But knowing that helps very little in the actual experience. I can preach lessons the whole week on this. I'm not going to, but I could, and it won't change anything. Remember when we talked about the real definitions of prayer and supplication in the lesson, and then I just went through the dictionary definition, like click, 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 because that's what they mean. When you go through a loss, very little. But we can cope and we can heal if we seek the help that God has designed for us. Comfort and consolation gained from Him, our family, our friends, and especially our spiritual family in Christ. Because of life's good days and bad days, there is much to be gained from our relationships along life's road. There is only one way that it can be better. And that is if we carry our relationships beyond this world. There's a way that we can do this. We can travel together in life, and we can travel through those gates one day together as well. And that is to find the pathway of faith and truth now in Christ. The opportunity for you to take your place on that pathway is yours. This morning, we've not been dealing with the necessities of the gospel plan. We've not been dealing with becoming a Christian, but we've been dealing with real life as a Christian. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how people who don't have faith ever cope with loss. I don't know how they do it. I don't think they really do. But we have a plan and we have a way, and it's all available inside this good and perfect gift from God. Just as that plan is inside the good and perfect gift of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He died for you because without His death, you would have no hope. And if you believe He's the Son of God, then confess that belief this morning. Repent of the sins of your life, have your sins washed away in the water of baptism. Rise and walk in the newness of life so that you might be on the pathway of faith and truth and heading toward a place that is truly our home. Losses will happen, but don't lose your soul in all of this. Make sure it's where it needs to be. If we can have you become a child of God this morning, we'd love to do so. If you are a child of God this morning, not living the way you should, for whatever reason it might be, if you need to make your life right before God, then do it. Do it. Pray to God for forgiveness. Return to Him in strength as you repent of that sin. But if you need our help with it, we offer it to you. If we can help you, come to the Lord or back to the Lord. Let us help you to stand and sing.